Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters, and God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. And God saw that the light was good, and God separated the light from the darkness. And one of the angels asked him, "What are you going to do now?" And God said, "I think I'm going to call it a day." Got to think about that one a little bit. We've heard a lot about light and darkness in our recent readings. On Ash Wednesday, we heard about the 3 hours of darkness from the sixth hour to the ninth hour. And it was Nicodemus who came to see Jesus at night under the cover of darkness. And when Jesus met the woman at the well, it was in the middle of the day when there was as much light as you could possibly have from the sun. And in the readings today, we speak of light and darkness as well. The blind man in the gospel lived his entire life in darkness. He was unable to see. Well, we don't think too much about darkness today. When you walk into the room, you reach over and flip a light switch, and the light comes on and the darkness is gone. At our house, we have lights that are set to come on about the time of sunset, and so the darkness really never does set in because the lights begin to come on as it gets darker outside. We live in a world where light is always available. There are street lights and lights in town. Our cars have headlights that allow us to drive. We just don't get a sense of what it means to live in darkness or how dark a room can be if you walk in without being able to hit a light switch. But people in ancient times didn't have that luxury. When it got dark, it got really dark. Travel at night was almost impossible because you had to carry some sort of a torch or a candle or something, and it didn't project light very far. And in those days, light inside the houses came from very dim lamps that were similar to candles. And those candles burned oil, and of course you had to replace the oil and you had to trim the wicks. And when you went from one room to another, that you carried that lamp with you. And I'm sure that that little tiny light, that little tiny lamp, must have cast huge shadows in various parts of the rooms. First century houses had several of these, maybe a dozen or so, and scattered around the house. And so in the evenings, people would have to begin to light those lamps so that they could see as it got darker and darker outside. And I'm told that as they did that, they sang a song that we know today as Joyous Light. If you've ever done the Holden Evening Prayer, you have sung that song. It was a song about Jesus as the light of the world, which is what he says about himself today. We read today about darkness and light in the gospel lesson. Man had been born blind, and he knew nothing but darkness. Jesus, on the other hand, calls himself the light of the world. So as we read this rather long story for a gospel lesson, we see that there is blindness in most of the characters. The only characters who don't demonstrate blindness are Jesus and the blind man himself. The disciples were blinded by their customary assumption that if some tragedy happened to people, it was the result of a sin. And so they asked Jesus, who sinned? Was it this man or was it his parents? What's the sin behind this blindness that the man experiences? And Jesus points out that this man was not blind because of some sin. That's an erroneous assumption, disciples. You guys are blind to the facts. This man was blind, Jesus said, so that the works of God might be displayed in him. And then once he could see, the friends and neighbors of this formerly blind man began to argue among themselves, well, how could this guy see? It must be somebody else. It couldn't be that same guy that used to live here, the guy that we saw begging all those years. But you see, those people were blinded by doubt and disbelief that this man really could see. And so they take him to the Pharisees. And the Pharisees, too, are blinded. They're blinded by their self-righteousness in keeping the law of Moses. They accuse Jesus of working on the Sabbath just because of the word that is used to describe what he did with he kneaded the clay. They're blinded by the fact that they don't believe that Jesus could be from God, and yet they're unable to explain the miracle that stands before them. They're blinded by their pride in the fact that, well, we follow Moses, and Moses talked to God. They're blinded by their condemnation of the blind man who is, well, after all, he is just a sinner, and you were born in sin. Who are you, blind man, to teach us, Pharisees, who know and keep the law? And then when the blind man points out the error in their logic, they're blinded by their own arrogant pride, and they throw the man out of the synagogue. And the man's parents were blinded too. They were blinded simply because of their fear of the Pharisees and the reprisal that they might take against them. So, what is it that blinds us today? What is it that keeps us from seeing that light and Jesus as the light of the world? What is it that keeps us in that spiritual blindness that we have been talking about? There's a lot of things in this world that can do that, to mention a few. Some people are blinded by loneliness. Some of us are lonely because we live alone. Some of us spend time in the day watching television and not talking to the other person in the room. Some of us spend our time staring at our phones, checking our job assignments or our emails, or reading the latest post on Facebook. Some people are blinded by their discontent. We have so much and so many things today that we just never seem to be quite satisfied. I read the story this week of an Ethiopian person who had come to the United States with his wife, and she was working nights in a building that stored cars, parking lot. And the wife probably made about $1,000 a month, and the husband was unemployed. And yet this man who had so little was so grateful for all of the blessings that he had relative to his life in Ethiopia. We have come to expect so much. And yet, with so much, we are still unhappy. We are blinded by that. Since World War II, the standard of living has increased dramatically. And we are led by advertisers to seek buying stuff. But we can never seem to have enough stuff. Stuff, you see, is a poor source of happiness, but a good source of blindness. Some people are blinded by fear. What if the stock market crashes and my investments are no longer producing income? What if people lose confidence in the financial system and your credit card no longer works and your cash is no longer worth anything? Or what about my health? Will I be an invalid? Will I die in my sleep, or will I linger for months or maybe even years? What will happen if somebody steals my identity? Some people are blinded by a sense of helplessness. Certainly there are forces out there beyond our control. Government regulations can literally take our house away. We're powerless as the economy rises and falls. The environment seems to be changing, and we don't know exactly how that's going to impact us or the world's ability to produce food. It seems like we become more and more the suffering from the whim of some force over which we really have no control. Some people are blinded by how they see themselves. We put so much of our self-identity into our own abilities. We perceive that our occupations are what make us who we are. They define our self-worth, and our sense of that self-worth is defined by how much we accomplish in any given day or month, and that's how we're evaluated. Our value seems to be placed on how much we produce. But God has, in fact, created us to be human beings, not human doings. God doesn't give us value based on our earthly accomplishments. We see productivity and independence and getting things done as giving us value. But that's not how God evaluates us. He sees the entirety of our life through a lens of Jesus on the cross. He sees us as an entire life from the time we're a helpless baby until we're a helpless person, perhaps living in a nursing home. He values our lives based on heavenly things and not on earthly values. He knows that there's darkness in this world and that we are subject to that darkness, to that blindness. He knows that we are subject to that spiritual blindness. But Jesus came into this world to shine his light into that darkness, not only that we might see into our own hearts, but he also came so that we might see him as the answer to dealing with our spiritual darkness and the other darknesses of this world. He does not judge us on what we have done, on what we have done in the past, not on what we will do, not what we can do in the future. He sees us as brothers and sisters. He sees us as redeemed. He sees our spiritual blindness, rubs mud in our eyes, and washes that blindness away. He's there to help us every day of our lives if we will only stop and say, "Lord, I need your help today." The Pharisees thought they had it all together. They didn't realize how deeply infected by sin they really were. While they adopted an external appearance of seeing, they actually had never faced the darkness that was within their hearts. And they thought they could see, but they were really completely blind to God and his ways. And so Christ came into this world. He came so that those who think that they have spiritual insight may be shown to be blind, and those who do not suppose that they have spiritual insight indeed are the ones who can truly see. So it comes down to this, or actually these two points. Those who are spiritually blind are the ones who do not realize their need for God. And those who receive sight are the ones who sense the brokenness and the darkness in their hearts. We went to a matinee of that movie called The Shack a couple weeks ago. We walked in from a bright sun, the sun actually was shining that day. We walked into the theater and went from bright sunlight to very dark in a very short period of time. And we found ourselves almost having vertigo because the credits were rolling from the previous showing of that movie. I couldn't tell if the floor was sloping up. I thought it should, but it didn't feel that way. I didn't know if it was sloping down. I felt off balance and not sure which way was up. Was I leaning? Did I need to correct myself? Made me feel a little bit dizzy. And certainly, I was unsure of the surroundings. I'd never been there before. I didn't know, was there a step coming up? And so we kind of had to feel our way along. But then we found the handrail. And we took a hold of that handrail, and suddenly walking was easier, and I could tell which way was up. I had something solid to hang on to. In this life, Jesus is our handrail. He is something solid that we can hang on to. And my prayer is that He will help all of us to see our spiritual blindness in this world and turn our ways toward Him. Amen. Now may the peace that surpasses all understanding keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.